Sunward Sky, Episode 2.5, Jettison. The door was buried beneath somewhere. A series of metal ducts, two cable trays, and more gnarled and rent metal than he knew what to do with lay between it and him. He grasped a broken section of conduit, placed his legs against the surface that seemed at least damaged around him, and yanked, frustrated. It did nothing but exacerbate the slight throb that had developed in his knees in the hours since he'd woken from the crash. Someone shuffled down the hall behind him. Brett turned, half expecting it to be Alyssa or even Healy. But no, just another confused nobody wandering dazed around the ship. The woman looked in his direction.
What happened? She asked.
Brett did everything he could to stop himself rolling his eyes. Instead, he gave his best conciliatory smile and spoke warmly and kindly.
Sorry. There's been a terrible accident, and the ship has suffered considerable damage. I'm part of the maintenance staff.
Not strictly untrue, he thought. Technically, all ship personnel were expected to carry out routine maintenance as was required. This woman seemed too out of sorts to remember that. She didn't look too badly hurt. Not visibly, anyway. Probably just shock. The ship is currently in lockdown, he continued. I think it's best if you went back to your cabin. I believe the crew on the bridge gave the order some time ago. The woman nodded vaguely and pranced away, unsteady on her feet. Brett watched her until she rounded the corner to the crew cabins, then turned back to the mess blocking the doorway. He pictured the ship layout in his mind. He was trying to get to a storage space that he and the other members of Blackout had used as an emergency shelter for some time now. There were freeze-dried rations, several carts of water, medication, first aid, all the trappings. More importantly, it had a radio transmitter and a small cache of heavy duty repair tools. He didn't know how he'd use them, but he knew more equipment would be more use than less. This door was too far gone for him to use. Even if he was able to move past most of the heavy detritus himself, there was every chance that some of the cabling was live and he'd electrocute himself for his troubles. He kicked the back of a warped and burned piece of panelling, then cursed as the shock went up his foot and resonated in his knee. Good thing I'm not on Terra, he thought to himself. There'd be no way he'd still be mobile if his knee had to deal with a full G of gravity. He'd have to double back quite a way to get around this, back up past the crew quarters, and cut past the infirmary. Swearing, he turned and trudged back up the corridor. The lights flickered, guttered, and went out for the last time as he left. The automated lighting system was starting to short out. It was like her peripheral vision was coming back, Alyssa thought. The world had gone blurry, and faint, and grey and black. All she'd been able to think about was Isa, the poor, frail girl who'd been taken too young and sent on an awful mission in the most inhumane way, only to die for reasons nobody would ever understand. Then she'd got to Healy. She couldn't remember too much, but he'd sat her down. He'd talked to her. He'd made her feel like something was being taken care of. He'd fed her, which probably helped. This really does taste like shit, was the first thing she'd said that had brought her back to the present, back to the situation, back to herself. She almost wished she'd stayed in shock. She was sitting in the corner of the destroyed medbay. The only two people in here were women who, when they woke up, were going to try to kill her. There was at least one other person on the ship who was out to do the same, and he was a lot bigger than she was. Healy was out there somewhere too. She stood up. Her knees threatened to buckle. The wavering, inconsistent gravity made her feel nauseous, and she bent forward to control away the vertigo that threatened to overtake her. Across the room, war stirred. The medical device connected to her arm chimed and lit up a pale shade of green. The glow from it reflected dully onto the destroyed cabinet against the far wall and the small cache of Velcro detritus that sat against the wall. Alyssa froze, watching as the woman began to wake up. Said Meg, pacing back and forth across the control room. She'd received a jettison package from the ground control crew, an optimized timer for pushing excess cargo out to increase the amount of time until the Sunward Sky hit atmosphere. She'd set it to as best as she could.
a series of robotic arms that were used to load satellite arrays and maneuver steel elements while loading and unloading on Terra, had been reprogrammed to shunt as much of the remaining cargo out as possible. She'd been doing a lot of it fly-by-wire. The cargo manifest was a theoretical 3D model of what was in the ship's bay, but since the crash, how accurate that was anybody's guess. In the meantime, she'd been trying to figure out what to do to figure out where this leak that was throwing off their trajectory. She'd checked the instrumentation, but almost all of it was useless now. Both oxygen and fuel reserves read as just a shade over 100% capacity, which couldn't possibly be true. The tanks were not monolithic. A series of sealable baffles inside them meant that in theory, it was possible to close them off in up to 20 partitions, and still maintain integrity and flow to all the areas that aren't breached. She'd sealed all the baffles, but she had no way of telling which portion of the tank had been breached. That portion of the sensor array had been blown to pieces, along with the overall tank capacity sensor. Evidently, the ship hadn't been designed with a near-total annihilation in mind. She'd need to do a visual inspection to see where the leak was coming from. If there was fuel, there was a chance they'd need to decrease their estimated descent time. If it was oxygen, they'd need to adjust the amount of time they still had where the crew would still be breathing. Either way, they'd need to know what they were dealing with. She didn't want to put a call out to the crew, as she didn't want to draw attention to anyone. Healy would help. She ran her eyes over the jettison schedule once more. 3 dumps, occurring over the next 4 hours, with the first happening in 20 minutes or so. She considered sending something out to warn the crew who were hunkered down in their cabins, but thought better of it. If they were safe, there wasn't much that would happen with the shift in inertia. If they weren't, well, telling them about it wouldn't help. She headed toward the mess. Alyssa watched carefully, as war stirred in her sleep again. The movement of her body in the medical chair was intoxicating to Alyssa. She couldn't take her eyes away. She'd had a stroke of luck the first time war had stirred. She'd moved slightly, then groaned and stilled again. Alyssa knew that it was at this point she should have made her exit, but she was caught, trapped in fear. She'd heard the weird words "deer in headlights" used before, and for the first time she reckoned she knew what it meant. She sat, silently, as war moved with increasing regularity. Any minute now, she'd wake up. She wasn't really a threat, was she? Maybe Alyssa could talk to her. Talk her down from the place of hatred she'd been in. Find a better way to communicate than what they had. Not likely, she found herself thinking. War's arm moved. Another soft sound escaped her lips. And still, nothing. Alyssa still couldn't will herself to move. The mess was living up to its name now, Healy thought. The human need for sustenance had caught the remaining crew members by the survival instinct, and they had led themselves on a gathering mission, coalescing on the one place that the new food was, or at least where it should be. A small group was hanging around one of the dispensaries, quietly desperate, as one of their number held down the chute where the food should have been appearing, while another pushed a skinny arm into it to clear a blockage. Even as the ship was decaying in its orbit, the existential need to survive continued. It was remarkable, really, Healy thought. He had, in the last few hours, felt his own meaning and his own calling to existence fall from around him. No longer was he some revolutionary, nor a mere ship's medic. He wasn't going to be able to... His reverie was interrupted as someone grabbed his shoulder and wrenched him around. "We need to get them back in their beds, now," Meg said. "What? Why? What's happening?" "We're clearing some cargo," she was whispering now, and leaned in conspiratorially before continuing. "There's another problem too. Don't turn to me. Don't react. I'll tell you when we clear the room. We've got 20 minutes before the first jettison shunt, so we need to tell them to get out now. Come on." Here it was then. A delay to the existential question. Now his meaning was to help these people to their rooms. And then there would be something else. And something else. Hopefully, with every step he took, he'd find something underfoot that would allow him to keep going. He stood with Meg, and together they went around the small crowd and explained to them that they had to return once again to their cabins. A maneuver was about to take place. No, It wasn't going to fix the slowly launching gravitational pull of the off-kilter ship. And no, they weren't sure if it was going to work.
I'm just trying to get some food, man. It's been ages. Can't we stay here?
No, we can't, Meng said. There's going to be a fairly large acceleration shock that goes through the ship. As it is, we're not sure how the ship is going to handle it. We're in pretty rough shape. We need you in the cabin because, quite frankly, that's one less thing for us to worry about right now. We'll have to see what we can do about food once we've completed the maneuver. The man stood and sized himself up against the officer. He was taller and stockier than Meg, but he was dwarfed by the clinking form of Healy and backed down readily when Healy himself straightened up. The rest of the crew surrounding the dispensary followed suit. The one who had had his arm in the machine pulling out the food from the damaged chute extricated it and followed the small cluster of people. They shambled out.
What did you want to tell me? Healy asked, but Meg pointed to the last person still in the room,
a young, thin woman who had been one of the groups they'd spoken to earlier.
Hi, excuse me, Meg said. I'm sorry, but we need to get you out of here. There's a... Who was the man I saw earlier?
What?
She shrugged. Earlier. I don't know what was happening. I was dazed, couldn't find my way around. There was a man away down...
She pointed towards the aft of the ship. Four of the cabins, but a long way from anywhere that crew would be expected to be right now.
He seemed to be trying to get through a wall. It was covered. Broken stuff everywhere. He told me to go back to my cabin. I did, but then I realized he didn't have any... I don't know. He wasn't wearing staff stuff. I thought he was just another worker.
Brett, Healy thought.
I'm not sure who it was you thought you talked to, Healy lied. But it sounds like there's something we should be checking out. Could you possibly let me know where you saw him specifically? The girl told him. Healy was nonplussed. It didn't seem like anywhere important.
Thank you. Now, would you mind getting back to your cabin? We're looking at only a few minutes before we have to make the course correction maneuver.
Healy failed to mention that the course correction maneuver was actually nothing more than dumping a heap of cargo into space.
Come on, Meg said to Healy. The jettison should work automatically, but it's a bit of a crapshoot as to whether anything on here works now.
They stepped out of the mess. Alyssa watched from the ground as the two other women in the medbay continued to stir. She didn't want to move. Too much had happened to her in too short a time. All she wanted to do was to sit here and let her head clear. She still hadn't dealt with Isa's death. Hell, she was only just out of shock from the ordeal of waking up to a spaceship having torn itself apart because the ship medic had rammed it into a satellite. It was a lot to deal with. Her body was still shaken, bruised. She didn't want to have to... War made a noise and rolled over to face her, eyes open. Alyssa froze as the grunt of pain from the woman in the medical seat drifted away. She was still out, for now. Alyssa finally managed to lurch up from the ground. She couldn't be caught here. She didn't want to hurt them, but they suffered no such qualms about her in return based on what they'd said to her prior to the crash. As quietly as possible, Alyssa stepped out of the room. The two women didn't respond as she slid the door open, even though the groan of it seemed to echo through her skull and out across the medbay floor. She practically tiptoed away from the medbay and down the corridor for 10 meters or so, before giving it up and running as fast as she could down the corridor and towards the bridge of the ship. She had to push herself carefully against the rhythm of the gravity, so she wasn't running as quickly as she'd usually have been able to. Still, she made good time. She breathed a sigh of relief as she rounded the corner and collided headlong into a wall of human flesh. She span in a low ebb of the ship's gravity and thudded against the floor, looking up to see who she'd run into.
You, Brett said with a snarl.
The controls that operated the cargo hatch on the central bay of the Sunward Sky had, miraculously, not been damaged in the crash. The small pocket of air that was inside it began to rush out, carrying the soft remainder of a hydraulic groan, as large pistons pushed the hatch open. Inside the ship, a deep groan fled through the creaking superstructure and settled in with the other myriad noises that hid the ship's ailment in the crash. It lasted several minutes as the steel plating opened and the gigantic maw that that had once held the scarabs and still held the remnants of the ship's cargo opened once again. Finally, the noise stopped. The hull resonated once again with only the other screaming systems of a dying ship. As the sunward sky careened around the blank empty above the earth, its cargo bay lay open. The jettison was coming. Brett grabbed Alyssa's hair and pulled her to the ground. He leapt on top of her. Alyssa tried to fight back, but the man was far stronger than she was. He had her pinned and was straddling her across the chest, holding her down with his weight. The fluctuations from the ship's careening meant that his bulk intermittently pressed itself into her, forcing the air from her lungs. Rage was written across his face in a cruel twist, and he slapped her across the face before grappling at her throat. Alyssa managed to dodge out of the way a few times, but eventually he managed to find her. The spindly, tough fingers of the Blackout member grabbed her, and she was forced to pull her hands away from trying to throw him off to try and rescue herself. "Couldn't just leave well enough alone, could you?" he spat. Alyssa pulled at his hands, trying to keep them away from her windpipe. Outside, a red light flashed next to the cargo bay doors. A set of alarms began ringing, going nowhere but through the solid metal of the speaker grill and warning nobody. A six-axis robot arm moved. It spanned down and released a set of straps on a conveyor holding several tons of equipment, construction materials, and tools. With a short, sharp jerk, the arm swung to the back of the conveyor, and the magnetic clasps holding the pallet to the ground released at the same time as the robot arm groaned, pushing against what had been identified as jetsam in Meg's last-ditch effort to correct the sunward sky's degrading orbit. Alyssa felt the pulsing gravity shift just a little. Brett's wake on her back pulled back slightly more than it had for some time, and she didn't waste any time in pressing the opportunity. She heaved against him, and he flew lightly up to the ceiling, letting go of her throat in surprise. She felt for a moment as though she was floating. Unbeknownst to her, she was taking advantage of the same reaction Meg had been relying on for the jettison, to stop Brett from choking her to death. She pushed off the ceiling of the corridor with her hands, watching as Brett tried to manipulate his awkward position in the middle of the corridor to allow him to do the same. She hit the ground as he swore at her, clawing to try to get back within range. She didn't waste any time. The gravity shifted again, and she watched him get down to the deck, winded. She forced herself up unsteadily on her legs and took off towards the bridge, leaving him gasping in her wake.